WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. A good early morning for Money Matters. I'm Wes Moss here live on WSB Radio in Atlanta and also streaming on KRMG Radio in Tulsa. So good morning there. I'm going to say for what I do for a living, which is the world of finance and personal financial planning and try to get people to retirement just a little bit extra early. That's really what I'm trying to do day in and day out. We have what is probably the biggest bombshell of news that you haven't heard about because it's so brand new that no one's talking about it. No one's discussing it because it's part of something that they got slipped in to the gigantic debt ceiling extension or budget provision, whatever you want to call it. There's a section that you haven't heard about yet. There's a major section that you have not heard about yet. Subtitle C. This is section 831 of the bipartisan budget bill. So Social Security, section 813 of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015. Subtitle C, protecting Social Security benefits. Section 831, closure of unintended loopholes. Something major is happening to Social Security. We've been talking a lot about Social Security because it's a big part of being a happy retiree is all about income streams. It's about getting to the right amount of income. It's getting to the right ratio of assets that produce income so that you have an additional income stream on top of Social Security 1, Social Security 2. So I call that spouse 1, spouse 2. Pension, if you have that. Rental income. Any other benefit that you get that's an income stream, part-time work, by the way, is part of the equation. But not only is the income we generate in retirement important, the number of income streams we generate is highly correlated to happiness. So my research shows pretty simply that the more income streams, the more different ways we collect our income, the more peace of mind we feel when we stop working. So we have this higher level of peace of mind if we have three or four income streams as opposed to one or two. And it makes sense. We're used to all of our lives collecting one big paycheck. You go to work every day and you have this one big W-2 for the most part. And then that goes away. And then you've got to replace that really big river of income with a bunch of little tributaries that all come together to form enough income in one big river for you to do what you want to do as a happy retiree. Social Security is a very big part of this for most people in America. For a third of retirees, it's everything. It's every single penny that you're ever going to get for the rest of your life, Social Security. So it's not just important, it's a lifeline. But now it's changing. And there's going to be continued talk about how this changes because you and I both know that mathematically, the way Social Security is formulated today, they messed up big time. They messed up big time. And what did they mess up on? And this is the same thing that they messed up in a lot of different congressional initiatives many, many years ago, is they messed up one variable in the math equation that makes everything wrong. They messed up one huge variable, and that's life expectancy. Instead of 66, or 67, where we thought we were living to on average, or 72, whatever the number was. Today, it's a lot longer. We live almost a decade longer today on average than we did when we put a lot of these social programs in place. So now the math doesn't work anymore. Well, I didn't, and this goes for pension plans. This goes for thousands of company pension plans that said, you're going to retire at 65, and we think you'll live to 72, and we'll pay you that whole time, that whole 7 years. Because we can afford it and it's going to be generous and it's going to be bountiful. And then you're probably going to die in your early 70s and we're off the hook. Well, again, a huge mess up. Instead of 72, we're living to 82. We're living to 92. So pension plans can no longer make good on their promises, just like Social Security can't either. So it's the math that's wrong, and we've got to fix it. Or there's got to be something that gives. Now, I don't like that this is happening, because I can tell you I've planned with a lot of families over the last couple of years to take advantage of, and we've talked about this very recently on Money Matters. One of the best things you can do if you're not strapped for cash right away and you're headed into retirement, you're 62, one of the best things you can do is what's called file and suspend. That means that if, let's say, one spouse has a lot of Social Security and the other spouse doesn't have a whole lot of Social Security, you can end up taking a spousal benefit. We've talked about this on Money Matters before. You can, what's called restricted file. You hit 66, your spouse hits 66. You can restricted file and allow your benefits to grow all the way until 70. And meanwhile, your spouse can take half of yours. And your spouse can allow their Social Security amount to grow and grow every year at about 8% a year while they're collecting your spousal benefit. It's a really good strategy to use for Social Security. Well, starting in about 6 months, that's probably never going to be able to happen again. As many times as we talked about that on the radio here and talked about what a wonderful strategy that is for you and your family, it's going away. And nobody's talking about it until today. And this is going to be big news. It's just that nobody's been talking about it just yet. So we're going to open up the table here on these major, major changes that are happening to Social Security. So starting in about 6 months. So by the way, the House just passed this on the 28th. The Senate just passed this on the 30th. And it's on your favorite president's desk for signature right now. And this is going to happen. It's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, I'll let you know. But very, very likely, all this is part of the new budget bill. Obviously, the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 is a gigantic bill. There's a lot in it. But something that directly impacts you for the rest of your life is something that we need to talk about. So the change in Section 831 says that you're no longer going to be able to do this whole restricted file strategy for your spousal benefit. It's going away. That is going away. You're also not going to be able to do the lump sum option. One of the most important parts about Social Security, I've had so many of these conversations over the last several years now, weighing, do I take it today? Do I take it tomorrow? I'm 66. Should I start the paycheck today? Well, for a lot of families, it could make sense to go ahead and take it at 66, or it could make sense to wait. Wait to 68, wait to 70. They work financially in both respects often. And as long as you live a long time, past about 82 or 83, you're better off typically waiting, at least strictly from a maximization standpoint, how much money you extract from Social Security, how much benefit you collect over time. As long as you live a long time, past about 82, typically in my math, that's when we get to a point where we've maximized Social Security. But what makes this an easier option to elect is that I can wait. I can file and suspend, and I can wait to 67, I can wait to 68. And by the way, I can do this monthly. I don't have to wait each year. It's just monthly whenever I want to do it. If something happens at age 68, I can raise my hand to Social Security and say, hey guys, guess what? I'm ready to take my, I meant to keep taking Social. Something's changed in my life and I want all that money back. I didn't collect my $2,000 a month for the last 2 years. So that's $24,000 a year times two, that's $48,000. Well, I want my $48,000 back. I was able to do that. And actually, I still am able to do that if I turn 66 in what seems to be here. And again, this is all ready to be signed into law. It seems to be you have about 6 months left. So if you're listening to me right now, and I want you to spread the word to your friends about this, if you have friends or family members that are right in that critical point, you've just turned 66 and you're thinking about filing, or you're going to turn 66 in the next 3 to 6 months, this is the window is closing forever. The window is closing forever. on this whole file suspend issue. And from what I can tell, and this is brand new legislation, so I'm not going to pretend to fully understand every single detail of this. And I'm sure there'll be questions that come up over the next several weeks, and I'm sure we'll get you answers to some of the things that we aren't even sure about. But from what we can tell in this bill, there is no more option for retroactive lump sum. And that's a very, very big change to Social Security. So we've got a gigantic shift that is happening right now. It's not being talked about. And you're going to start hearing about it after this week in the news. I can't imagine. And I have CNBC on almost all day in the break room. I've got Bloomberg on in my own office every single day, all day long. And it isn't being talked about yet. After that GOP debate, by the way, last Tuesday or Wednesday night, I vowed to just shut CNBC off forever. It was so bad. I mean, I've watched these anchors, by the way, Becky Quick, Jim Cramer, Carl Quintanilla. I've watched these people for almost 20 years. So they feel a little bit like family to me. I've been watching them forever. But they were a liberal firing squad on Wednesday night. They were so pathetic that I don't even want to watch CNBC anymore. So now we have CNBC on in the break room and above the stalls in the bathroom, but not in my office. I'll be watching Bloomberg from now on, which, by the way, I love Bloomberg for my financial, if we're looking about what's happening in the market. But again, none of this is being talked about just yet, but it's a gigantic shift that's going to affect you and your Social Security for the rest of your life. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm your host, Wes Moss, Certified Financial Planner, right here. Good morning.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
There are major changes coming to Social Security. Now, remember, if you're 68 or you're 85 and I've just got a flurry of calls about this and you're already collecting Social Security and you're in stride with them and you're collecting, nothing's going to change. Don't worry. I don't want everyone to be worrying about this. This really impacts those of you who are getting ready to file in the next 6 months, because the old rules will likely still stand over the next 6 months. And then after that, major shifts happening. No longer are you going to be able to, what's called, file suspend, get a spousal benefit, wait for your own, let it continue to accrue, and turn that higher amount on. Social Security is calling that a loophole, and that is going away. No longer are you going to be able to get a lump sum after waiting for a year or two or three or four from Social Security. So these are changes happening starting in about 6 months. So if you're collecting today, you're not going to have any material changes or any changes from what I can see. David joins us from Tucker. David, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Is there a way to increase your Social Security benefits if you're not claiming them yet and you want to work past 65?
David, what is, when you look at Social Security, is your full age 66? What is your full age of Social Security?
Well, I'm 57, so I'm pretty much from the old school, I believe.
Well, so if you look at your statement, it probably says FRA, full retirement age, is 66, or that's probably what your statement says. So
right.
For what that means is that between 62 and 64, if you are working and you're collecting an income, you've got to be careful in that scenario, because if you're collecting Social Security as well, that benefit can get reduced. That's why you probably don't want to collect until you're really done working or you're going to stop. But to answer your question, can you have your Social Security continue to go up? And the answer is still yes. From even with these changes, if you don't collect at 66 and you wait, it's going to be higher by about 8%, 7.5%, 8%, if you wait until you collect at 67. And it'll be another 7.5% or 8% more if you wait to 68, and so forth, all the way up until age 70, when it no longer will accrue if you wait. So it doesn't help you to wait anymore past age 70. So that part of Social Security, I see no language in any of this new legislation that's going to change that whatsoever. So that's how all of us can continue to have our Social Security monthly amount go higher. We still have to wait. We have to wait until we collect. The number here in the studio, I know there's a lot to talk about this morning. 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. You can also call me right here in the studio, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's a contact button on the left-hand side. It comes straight to me and the Money Matters team. You are listening to Money Matters right here on WSB Radio and KRMG Radio. Good morning.
Hi, this is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News on WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates 4 times an hour all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 tonight for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Social Security bombshell, all hidden in the brand new budget proposal for 2015, passed by the House. Passed by the Senate and on the desk to be signed into law. So it's not done yet, but it looks like it's obviously going to be done inside of that bill that's all about the budget and extending the debt ceiling or extending us being able to pay our bills. Provisions, new provisions, brand new provisions that are radically changing the way you and I will be able to take our Social Security in coming years. Subtitle C, Section 831, to be exact. Protecting Social Security benefits is how they title it. Closure of unintended loopholes. That's another way they're couching this one. We're no longer going to be able to restricted file for spousal benefits. That's a very big deal. And I know there are probably hundreds of thousands of families that are planning on were going to do this in the next year or so in America, as they've been looking at Social Security optimizers like we've made available on our website on yourwealth.com, Social Security Optimizer. These rules still stand. If you're going to be 66 soon, or you just have already turned 66, but if you're 64 or 65, it looks like that those options will no longer be available to you. The other thing that is gigantic that's going away is the ability to not collect Social Security at 66 and wait and wait and wait, change your mind and take a lump sum. That option and the optionality, which made waiting a really good deal because you could always go back and change your mind, optionality of getting a lump sum, that's going away too. That's going away. That's a really big deal. And I think you're probably hearing about it first here on Money Matters because it's not been in the news at all. It will be after this week, but right now it's not been in the news. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to go to the phones here and answer your questions about the world that we live in. And by the way, not a bad week for the market, up 0.1% for the Dow, 0.2% for the S&P 500. We closed out the month. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 8.5% for the month, up about 8% for the S&P 500 for the month of October. That's the best monthly gain in 4 years. So we went from this calamity in August and September, calls about the world ending, calls about going back into a great financial crisis and a bear market. And here we are back to almost flat for the year. Dow Jones down 0.9%. So we'll call it down about 1% on the year for the Dow. No longer down double digits like we were. And the S&P 500 is up 1% for the year. And just like that, that's how quickly these markets can change and whipsaw all of us. This time back to lower volatility. So we'll go to the phones here. Again, the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to go to Charlie from Marietta. Charlie, is that correct?
Charlie, yeah.
Charlie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, thank you for your show and for educating us.
You're welcome. Happy to do so. How can I help?
All right. My husband retired at 62. I turned 66 this past July, which is my full retirement age, the even 66, and I started drawing my his spousal benefit. My question is, what is this lump sum payment? Would it behoove me to take that or wait and let mine accrue at approximately 8% a year?
There's three things going on here. You've got the ability to take a lump sum benefit. You have the ability to take your spousal, or you have the ability to take yours, but you can't do all of them together. The fact that you're already taking your spousal benefit means that you can't take a lump sum. If you hadn't done that, and that money was effectively accruing in a little bit of an optionality, piggy bank, if you will, in Social Security, because you weren't taking it, that's when you could have taken a lump sum. But because you're already taking your spousal benefit, you can't do both.
Okay.
You're already getting that. So but here's how this would apply to another family that might be in a similar situation, but waiting. And again, the reason you would wait would be two things. One, you'd be waiting for your own Social Security payment to go up and up and up every year. And if you're waiting for that, and you hadn't been drawing, then that's when the lump sum could have come in. You raise your hand and say, hey, Social Security, I messed up. I think I want that money now. Well, you can get a lump sum in lieu of your benefit going up and up and up every year. You can't have both, right? If you wait and you wait and you wait, you're waiting for your payment to get higher every month for the rest of your life once you start it. But you can't, if you take the lump sum will effectively pay you what you would have been paid at your normal payment at 66. So you can't do both. And from what I can tell here, and again, this is all brand new, it's not even law yet. It looks like it'll be law very, very soon. It looks as though in the future, these lump sum payments aren't going to be available either to anybody. So if you're going to do the lump sum option, you're going to go back to Social Security and say, hey, I think I want to take that lump sum because I haven't been collecting. It looks to me that you're going to have to do that over the next 6 months or so before this is fully enacted. Make sense?
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great rest of your Sunday. The number here again, 404-872-0750. In a world where things are changing, these are radical changes to the largest social program in the United States, probably the largest social program on the planet. And there are gigantic shifts and changes to the legislation and the law of Social Security, and it hasn't been talked about, or it hasn't been talked about yet. You can find some of this on Lawrence Kotlikoff's website. He's the author of Get What's Yours, the wildly successful book all about Social Security. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. If I was Kotlikoff, I would be I would be happy because you could write first of all, his whole book, I'd have mixed feelings. His whole book is obsolete. Everything he wrote about is gone because he talks all about optionality and waiting, and you can collect a lump sum, and all of these options are wonderful. And that's why you should wait for your Social Security. But that's all changing in the next couple of months, it looks like to me. So Kotlikoff's going to have to throw out that book and write a brand new one. His advice and his whole theme in that book is all about waiting and options and taking a lump sum. That's going out the window. So I guess he gets another opportunity to write a new book and sell another, I don't know, quarter of a million copies. I don't know, whatever it is, it's a lot. Especially for a financial book. Financial books don't sell a whole lot. So to do even 10,000 financial books is a lot. Kotlikoff, I don't know where he is, but it's been a wildly successful book. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I know there are lots of calls on hold. Let's keep going to the phone. Seth joins us from Buford. Seth, good morning. How can we help?
How you doing today? All right, so real quick, I'm 32 years old, married, just had my first child. Social Security is either going to be non-existent by the time I get to retirement age, or it's going to be so wacky that the money you're going to collect isn't going to be very much at all. I have roughly $300 to $500 extra a month to play with market volatility, blah, blah, blah. Do I need to just put this money away in a mason jar and bury it, or do I need to put it into a CD savings account? What can I do with this money so that I know I will have something when I do finally get to retirement age?
Seth, you can put it in a mason jar as long as the mason jar has a Vanguard label on it and it happens to be in a fund inside the mason jar. Let's put it that way. The best thing for you to do, and this is so, so valid at your young age, when you're 32, you've got so many years to go, man. You've got 3 decades before you could even potentially, and by the time you're 62, by the way, you won't be able to collect Social Security that early anyway. So you're right. So you need to take the extraordinarily long view here. You should also not root for, not that it matters, but you don't want the market to be all that great. You want to have a correction and a bear market, and you want things to not go well today for the next decade, because you're buying in at lower and lower and lower prices. Imagine just going back a couple weeks, we've got the Dow today that's almost getting close to 18,000 again. It wasn't long ago, a month and a half, 2 months ago, it was around 16. So wouldn't it be great to be putting all that money in at 16 while the world's crying and screaming and saying, oh my goodness, the market's down. But Seth, at this young age, you're buying in at cheaper prices. Fast forward a decade or two or three, when the Dow's at 50,000 or 70,000, the prices at 16 are going to look really good. So the answer here is you want to put the money away systematically. There's a great book you've probably heard of called The Automatic Millionaire. It's a book that, I mean, really kindergartners could read it. It's so simple, but it's not easy to do. And that is automatically just setting up yourself for saving. So whether it's through your 401k, or in this case, if you've got about $6,000 a year extra, you should do an automatic payment out of your bank account to a Vanguard Roth IRA and buy something like the Vanguard 500, the S&P 500, or the Vanguard Dividend Appreciation Fund. One of these equity-based, stock-based funds that in 10 and 20 and 30 years, it's going to be worth multiples of what you put in. So you put in $50,000 over the next 10 years, it's probably going to be worth $250,000 by the time you actually retire. So,
I personally have just a standard 401k. My wife has a Roth, and we did hers through Vanguard. So maybe it's time to look at changing mine over to a Roth IRA. And get it out of the standard 401k.
Well, Seth, you don't want to necessarily just do that. Remember, there are two separate kinds of accounts, and if you roll money from a 401k into a Roth, it gets taxed as ordinary income.
That is true. Yep.
So think of it as these are two different tracks. They're both good. The 401k allows you to lower your adjusted gross income. You put $5,000 in the 401k, you're going to pay taxes on $5,000 less. That's really one of the major advantages of the 401k. The Roth track, you don't get a deduction for it. So that positive is not a feature of the Roth, but it does grow tax deferred. Then it comes out totally tax-free. Again, that's if Congress doesn't change this. I can't imagine they all of a sudden make the Roth taxable. I think you get a march on Washington. You get 10 million people converge on the Capitol if they were to pull the Roth tax-free rug out from underneath us. But at least the way things are they're legislated today, the Roth is a wonderful vehicle because tax-deferred turns into tax-free when you finally take it out. All right, you're listening to Money Matters. There's a lot going on today here. So you can feel free to call us in the studio and answer your Social Security questions, pension questions, investment questions. The number 404-872-0750.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. A flurry of Social Security calls as we see changes coming up to Social Security with the new budget bill. There are changes, Section 831 of that bill that's impacting Social Security. Some major changes ahead when this bill is ultimately signed into law. We're going to go to the phones here, 404-872-0750. ZD joins us on the line. Good morning. How can we help?
My question is, I am currently 61. I'm retired from the state. I get a state pension. So I'm thinking about collecting Social Security when I'm 62 because I'm afraid that when I get 64 and 65, that there's really not going to be any money left to collect. So my question is, should I start collecting at 62?
Well, there are obviously a lot of variables that go into this. I would say this. I'm not under the belief that Social Security is going to be gone anytime soon. Remember that there's still a cushion in this trust fund, and there is still the mechanism where every single person in America that's working pays into FICA, and that about 7.5% a year that we pay in to FICA or Social Security and Medicare, it comes directly out of our paycheck. So even if there's no money in the Social Security Trust Fund, you're going to have millions of workers paying in while millions of workers are going to get paid out. So it's not going to not be there, ZD. The question really comes back to filing early, which 66 is technically early. Your full retirement age, I would say, is probably 66, not 62. But you're eligible at 62. And if you're not working and you're collecting a pension, you're going to get a lower amount of money for longer. So Social Security goes back to this calculation of longevity. If I started today, my monthly amount is going to be locked in at a lower level forever. But I'm going to collect it for longer because I'm starting it at 62 and I'm not waiting until 66. So I get 4 more years of these payments. Or do I wait till I'm 66 or even 70 and get more per month for longer? Well, there's a break even there, right? Zita, right. You can look at this and say, it takes me until age what before I break even? It might be 78, it might be age 80. And then you've got to figure out with your own family situation on these other income sources that you have, and you got to look at the assets that you have and what they can generate. You got to say to yourself, well, what's a better bet for me and my family? Am I going to live to 95 and I want to really maximize this thing and wait? Or do I want to say, you know what? It makes sense for me and my family to go ahead and start taking it today. It's a nice supplemental amount of money I'm getting on top of a pension, and I've also saved some money. And you can make the case to take it a little bit early, and then you take away a little bit of that anxiety of, hey, what's going to happen to this program? Where's it going to be when I'm 66 another 4 years from now? So there's all these variables that go into making these decisions. You are listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here on WSB Radio and KRMG in Tulsa.